Hello, and you are listening to I'm a Diva podcast, a podcast dedicated to promoting our female creatives in the music industry. So if you are any form of creator, a dedicated participant in the music industry, then we are here to promote you, to share your story, to share your challenges, and to grow together and to have some fun along the way and learn a thing or two. You are listening to I'm a Diva podcast. I'm a GV. I'm a female rapper in the music industry, going to develop my career and facing challenges and noticing how females are underrepresented. This is why I decided to create this podcast for all of you to listen to and to promote our wonderful females and to be able to connect with others and learn from each other. So I welcome you to I'm a Diva podcast. Hello, and you're listening to I'm a Diva podcast. This is your talk show host, Edgy V, and we're back with another wonderful episode. So this is actually season 3, episode 9. So we're coming forward to closing up season 3 and, you know, kick it up a notch a little bit. So today we're actually talking to Arlene. So she says the title track from Arlene Bailey's album, I Am Woman, celebrates female empowerment, admires who she is as an artist. Arlene hails from Salient, County Kildare, and as a recording artist, she has embraced country music in a way that has gained her music recognition. She left home at 17 and went on tour with a band. After a few years of working the club scene in the UK, she decided it was time to go solo and signed a recording contract with Crashed Music in Dublin. As a solo artist, her talent brought her many places around the world, including tours of the Middle East, Europe, and eventually to the United States, where she made a temporary home for herself. During her time in America, Arlene played the Irish scene in New York and Boston and recorded 2 albums in Nashville. Her debut album, Chain of Love, was released in 2003, and the title track reached number 51 in the European country chart and number 9 in France. Her second album, I Am Woman, was released in 2007, and Arlene found herself working alongside some of Nashville's finest musicians. She returned to Ireland for a promotional tour and received an award for Best Country Newcomer in 2007 World.
Break me, 'cause it only serves to make me more determined to achieve my final goal. And I'll come back even stronger, not a novice any longer, 'cause you've given the conviction in my soul. Oh, yes, I'm wise, but it's wisdom born of pain. Yes, I pay the price, but look how much I've gained.
Wow. Hi, Arlene.
Hello, my dear. How are you?
Good. Talk about an impressive bio. Wow. Just like listening to everything, you've had quite a musical journey, and I can't wait to unpack everything that has happened over the course of your music career. So my favorite question, the beginning of where it all began for Arlene and her music career, and what was it that made you fall in love with music to begin with? And one day you said, wow, I want to be in music. I want to be a music artist. Let's start there.
Okay. So picture it. I'm 4 years of age and I am in the local pub with my parents, and this was, God, the early 80s. So everybody was smoking and drinking, and kids were, you know, it was socially acceptable to have children in the pubs on a Saturday night. And I would get up on stage with the bands that would be playing there. They used to organize these nights called Crazy Nights, but my dad actually helped organize them as well. So yeah, there'd be live music, and yeah, 4-year-old me up on stage, giving it my best, singing Elvis songs. That's what I did. And I remember, God, I remember, it's terrible now when I think about it, but I remember going to my mom in the pub going, my eyes are killing me, mommy, from the smoke, because, you know, it was such a different time then. And it was, as I said, it was acceptable then to haul your kids from mass on a Saturday night to the local for drinks and stuff. And I remember our local postman used to get hammered, like, God rest his soul, like, but he was a great postman, but on a Saturday night, he'd be on the dance floor like drinking like a lunatic, and he'd be in the audience as I'd be belting out my songs. And I didn't really enjoy getting up to sing, but I loved it when I was there. So I was very nervous, but yeah, I'd get up to sing, and this would happen quite regularly throughout my childhood. If we were away anywhere, when we were on holidays, my dad would go straight up to the band that were playing in whatever pub, and my daughter's a singer, he'd say, and you need to bring her up, and she's brilliant. And so I'd be like, oh God, leave me alone. I have a really kind of, I don't know if you want to hear this or if anyone wants to hear this, but I have a kind of a disgusting story about one of those. It's disgustingly funny, if you'll allow me to share, okay?
Yeah, of course.
Just coming back to me now. So we were on holidays somewhere in, I think we were in Wexford, okay? So we were at this holiday camp and there was lots of other kids there. And I'd say I was about 8 years of age and I was socializing with the other kids, as you do, you're on your holidays. And I said to my mom one of the evenings, my head is really itchy. And she said, okay, well, I'll check your head for you and see if it's okay. She couldn't see anything. Okay. So my scalp seemed totally clear. So off we went anyway that night to another one of the bars while we were on our holidays. And there was a band playing. And again, the usual, my dad went up and said, this girl can sing, can you let her up to sing with ye? And I did. And I remember that night, my head was still itchy and lots of women came up to me, like lots of people came up to me at the end of the night and they were coming up close to me and whispering in my ear, well done, you're a great singer, well done, well done. But it turned out then that I discovered I had head lice. And God, I don't know how many people I gave it to that night. I mean, I was a child and my mother, as I said, she checked. She didn't see anything at the time. So we were like, it's fine. But yeah, the next day she discovered I had head lice. I'd obviously picked it up from one of the other kids at the holiday camp. And potentially passed it on to half the pub that night.
So the audience ended up leaving more than just musical treats from Arlene.
There's somebody out there going, what a cow. I can see it now, edgy on the front page of the paper tomorrow. Arlene Bailey gave me head lice.
Talk about a good PR stunt to get your name out there, that's for sure.
No one's going to want to book me now. I swear my scalp is spotless.
Unless we have a head lice inspection, we're not able to book you, Arlene. I'm sorry.
You see, this is the thing. You know that certain people have to produce proof of their vaccination and all the rest. Arlene has to provide proof of clean scalp. Oh, sorry about that.
No, not at all. I actually absolutely enjoy that. That's such a funny story. And look, at the end of the day, it's not the day, the nights and the days that went really smoothly that we remember the most. You know, it's the most messy, completely unexpected are the ones that you kind of look back on and just, you can't help but giggle and it can't help but make someone else giggle listening to it. You'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened to you. So I absolutely enjoy stories like that. Thank you for sharing.
For oversharing, you mean.
I appreciate it. Overshare away, Arlene, overshare.
So
past the point of the audience and the unexpected turn of events, you mentioned, you know, so your dad was very encouraging to kind of getting you to go on stage. So how far did you get to a point where you're like, okay, here we go, I think it's time to maybe start getting into a band? Or
I had the interest all the way along the line, and my dad actually took me to record my first demo. There was a couple of competitions along the way that I would have entered. Like, I remember there was a big competition in Limerick for a load of different bands, and I went with an acoustic guitar player and entered my competition. I was only 15 at the time and I was up against big bands, so I mean, I was a small fish in a big ocean, but hey, I was dipping my toe in the water, shall we say. So I left school, I just turned 17, I left school and joined a band and I went on tour. We traveled all over the UK for a period of time, and then we spread our wings a little further. We traveled across different parts of the Middle East, and then, as I said, I went somewhere along the way, I went out as a solo artist basically and hit the States. And yeah, from there, working the scene in New York and commuting between there and Nashville, I did a couple of albums. And yeah, I feel like I've been a million years in the music business, but it's only now that a lot of people are actually becoming familiar with me and what I do. So for me to have actually received that Best Newcomer in 2007, sure, I had been years in the business.
Yeah.
Do you know, I'm coming up at now, what, like, I don't know, 27 years, like, professional now in the music business. It's mad how time can fly. And then you receive Best Newcomer or something, you know, it's funny.
Which is ironic from one side of things when you look about it, the Best Newcomer. You're like, I've been here.
Yeah, isn't it funny? Yeah. And there's so many other actors and singers out there who have been around for so long. And then people say, oh, look, she's just appeared out of nowhere. But she had to appear from somewhere, you know. She's obviously, whoever she is or they are, have been slogging away for years and eventually get their break. break. So yeah, these kind of overnight successes are never, or are rarely that, you know.
And no, it's really that for sure. And I really like that, you know, you're kind of emphasizing that the awards aspect of it is actually quite important. And I think there are many artists that sort of like disregard even like, oh, sure, you know, even like enter into things, like go ahead, like put yourself out there. And you put yourself out there with gigs, you never know what's going to happen with awards. So just like, if you can enter yourself and get people to vote on your behalf, like people love to be a part of things like that. And if they were like, I voted for you and you got the award, and they like, I was a part of that, about you getting to that stage, and you know, it connects people, it connects the audience. So I think that's something for people to really, really kind of say, you know, explore. And in terms of like awards, I feel like there is some award like things going on in Ireland, quite a few, but I still feel like the different kind of maybe genre categories and things, I think still like Ireland has a little bit of a long stage to go. What do you found like in being in the US or even just around UK that you think like things are being done differently that you think could be done over here or could be done over there, like in terms of similarities that you picked up that you like liked or didn't like?
Just when you say the States, I kind of think, and no disrespect to here, but they may be a little bit more accepting of a variety of genres of music, where here, you know, and particularly as a woman in the music business, you come up against obstacles. Because I say to people, I'm a country singer and my style of music is country rock, so it isn't your traditional kind of Irish country. I think I come against brick walls at times and closed doors when I'm trying to get airplay from certain radio stations. Now, I'm very grateful because I have received a lot of airplay, particularly on my my last album and this new album that we have out now, we're in the process of promoting. But there are certain doors that you don't get through when you categorize yourself as a country artist here.
Yeah,
and absolutely. That's a shame, because I think there's a bit of a, is there a bit of a stigma potentially? Are we progressing? We are, but at a slower pace, I think. I don't know. And as I said, as a woman, there's, I don't mean to go down this route, but there's a lot more there's a lot more male artists there getting airplay and exposure, and that's just the sense I get. But hey, look, you know, it's not going to be a deterrent to me. I'll still keep banging down doors, you know, till they open.
I really appreciate you touching up on that, because it is something that, you know, this podcast is about. So absolutely, you know, jump into that rabbit hole if you want to share, if you know, that was your experience. Because at the end of the day, your experience is valid, and that's the thing that facilitates change, is kind of opening up about it and say, this is kind of what is going on. And obviously the episode, to people who don't know, our quick little chat before the recording of this podcast episode, Arlene mentioned listening to the episode with Linda Coogan, and you know, obviously her doing the disparity report, and these are real stats, this is actually happening. And so you touching upon that and kind of how women are still not getting enough radio play, and especially your aspect of your genre, and that kind of even minimizes it even more. And that's stuff to talk about, and that's stuff to touch upon. So I'm really, really, really glad that you have mentioned it. In terms of kind of like mentioning the part of you saying, you know, kind of radio play and stuff like that, so how do you feel like the US, is it just kind of more open and more kind of equality there in terms of music, or what do you think that is that they're doing that we could be doing as well to make things better?
I'm not sure. I think, you know, from my point of view, maybe me approaching the States as an Irish woman worked in my favor. Mm-hmm. I just found that doors, look, again, it's a difficult market to crack anyway, but I would have got a lot of interviews, radio interviews and stuff with radio stations in the States. And I just found, I don't know, I found maybe that my audience was there. I have yet to establish my target audience here. And I know that they're out there, because my music translates. It's not, as I said, it is kind of edgy country. It's gritty, it's honest, it's raw, and it's just, you know, as I said before, it's like gargling with vodka before you go out on stage and and having a laugh with the lads in the band. It's something that people can relate to. And my music, a lot of the songs that I have recorded tell stories, and they fly the flag for independent women. You know, like the cover I did of I Am Woman by Helen Reddy, is, that's like a huge anthem for women, it was back in the 70s. And then one of my new songs called Everything I'm Not just says basically, look, dude, you're welcome in my life, but I'm not going to be your maid. I'm not going to be your mother. I'm not going to pick up after you. You can, you know, do your part and deliver, because I'm here. I know who I am as a person, as a woman, as an artist, as a whatever, as a girlfriend, and, you know, pull up your pants, man. So, yeah, look, just, hey, look, it is what it is. You know, I think I'm in one of the best industries in the world. So I have little to complain about. I'm doing what I truly love to do. I just think there, as you said yourself, as Linda pointed out, and with facts and figures, there are obstacles there. And I think collectively as women, we've had enough with a lot of things, haven't we?
Yeah.
Like, we're just sick of so much crap. Like, we could be here all day. We really could, talking about things
specifically,
and,
when it comes to all of these kind of different categories that make up, you know, the inequalities that are taking place right now. And see, that's why this whole podcast is such a, it's so much bigger than me, you know. It's so much bigger than a lot of things, in terms of kind of just understanding that there's so much things that are going on out there that people need to kind of hear, and kind of just, sometimes it's enough for a woman to listen to, like, say an episode and to be validated in saying, you know, she experienced too, and she's open about it, and she's accepting, and she's validating her experience. I feel like I can do that too now that I heard it. And sometimes that could be enough for a woman to step forward as well. And if we can do that together as like a force to be reckoned with, not in a way where we're aggressive, but in a way where we're owning our space and saying, you know, like you said, we've had enough, you know, what are we going to do, and know what we want, what changes we want, and kind of asking for it and not settling for less. And if we can lean back on each other for that support to continue persevering, I think women are very powerful. I think we've forgotten our power for a little bit, because, you know, there has been this like ratio of uneven kind of balance, and that's where we feel like, oh, you know, I can't take on such a big force of inequality, where I was like, women are so powerful if we just work together, stick together.
Yeah. Absolutely. And as you said, it doesn't have to be, we don't have to come at it from an aggressive place. It doesn't all have to be man-hating and bra-burning and whatever else.
It's just kind of, I love men. I love men.
Yeah, same.
It's just me saying, you know, let's work together. Let me help you to help me. And, you know, like, can we find some middle ground? Can you just like hear me out? And I understand there are women out there who have such a strong intensity about them that it's hard to listen to them. Because for me, I sometimes come across a very like strong, opinionated woman, and it's even hard for me to listen to her, because I'm like, I'm a woman too. But I feel like, you know, there is an artful way of communicating your needs, and also finding a way to get them met. And sometimes if you can't get them met there's a place that you can get them at, somewhere else. Find it,
for sure. Yeah,
this is where this podcast came about, is like, I'm gonna create the space of where I'm gonna get my needs met that I need. So obviously, like you said, Arlene, we could go on day and night about this discussion. In terms of yourself and music, when you mentioned that you went on to the US to kind of have your solo career, was that because your band couldn't come along, in terms of like relocating, or is that something you chose for yourself?
I had to do what I had to do for me, basically. And I knew that I wasn't a background woman. I wasn't a backup singer. I needed to be front woman, and I needed to be solo, because that's what sat well with me. And over the years, I guess, and this is something I'd like to say to like girls that are starting out in the music business, or women who just haven't found their own voice, don't put up with things that aren't good enough for you. Don't settle for crap. You know, if you have a direction and you know you want to go down a certain route, don't let anybody else deter you, you know. So I think from past experience, I was like, no, you know, I need to do my own thing. I need to regain my power and take control of things. And I made fatal mistakes down the line where I thought, oh, I need somebody else to make this happen for me, or to do this for me. I don't. I need me. I don't actually, not that I don't need other people. Of course you need other people, and, you know, people help you along the way and whatnot. But in order to achieve what I want, there's nobody out there with as great an interest in my career as I have. So, do you know, it's the same for anyone. Like, we, you know, we have to look out for ourselves. So yeah, I went gung ho and just said, this is what I need to do. And like, even in the last little while, I've been 100% taking care of my career, my PR, my everything, you know. Now, that being said, I have an amazing partner. He works with me. He's in my band. My band are brilliant, very supportive and easygoing. But you know, I'm doing this myself. And I've learned that's it. You just can't be expecting somebody else to bang on your door and say, there you go, Arlene. There is the answer to everything. There's the key to success. We're handing it to you. No, you got to get up off your ass and get it yourself. And also, don't put your trust in everybody all of the time. You know, like, there's a lot of snakes out there. Yeah. There's a lot of, I've encountered horrible things in my time. I've been felt up at gigs. I've been subjected to a lot of things, a lot of nasty experiences along the way that have been huge eye openers, and it's not good enough. And again, you know, I can get on my high horse again, but no, I just think that we need to be, we need to trust our instinct and go with our gut. And that's what I did from a certain point in my career. I said, no, this is my baby, and I'm gonna run with it. So
yeah, hashtag real talk.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that you're saying is just like ringing alarm bells in like, yes, hell yes, because it's like all the different categories you touched upon, pun not intended, touched upon. But in terms of kind of like what you mentioned and being felt up, I think that's still happening like this day and age. I know there's like, has been the Me Too movement, which kind of has made even say people, males in the music industry, kind of a bit more reluctant about doing these things, but I don't think it has held back that kind of behavior in a lot of ways, whereas they try to still take the power of the female and say, you know, you need me to where you need to get. And I feel like that power play is still being played in terms of kind of them getting what they want. And I do feel like trusting your gut, because I've been myself as well in situations where not necessarily that in on that same level where you said, you know, I got felt up, but it's more that you get a certain sense that it isn't just about you being, you know, getting booked as an artist and actually just going for a gig and that's it. And you tend to kind of get an intuition and a sense, which I'm trying to kind of send to the girls to say to trust it, because it could kind of save you from situations that maybe something happened to Arlene, you know, and kind of picking up that, you know, sometimes there's more to it than why I got booked, you know. And I'm not saying you're not talented, but it's like who you're continuing a relationship with. So make sure to build strong relationships, because what tends to happen if you get booked by a promoter, you're going to get booked again. If you have a good relationship, you showed up, you did a good job, you're going to get booked again with them. So if that's a relationship you want to maintain, then continue maintaining it. But if it's a relationship that you felt was a little bit dodgy and you got a sense, don't stick around to find out why, you know?
Yeah. So, and even at 17, I think I had street smarts. So I may not have been, you know, the most educated or clued in. I'm still not, but I had the common sense at times to kind of go, no, this isn't right. And I need to, you know, to jog on from this. I do remember a guy who is well known in the music industry in this country, who I had approached before about management, and he said to one of my bandmates, yeah, sure, that's fine, I'll do that for her, but what would she do for me?
And I thought,
this isn't a business deal now, we're talking something completely different. So I just got the hell out of there. It's just not pleasant, and it's out there, and I don't think I'm as aware of it anymore, because my mindset is totally different, and I have tunnel vision, and I'm like, you know, if you're an idiot, just get out my way, I've no time for you. But yeah, there are snakes out there, and just people need to be mindful of that.
I'm gonna mention Will Smith's wife, her first name, I can't
remember. Jada Pinkett. Yeah,
she spoke about in an interview about kind of saying being offered loads of different jobs. Now, this isn't necessarily in the context of her being anybody being inappropriate, but how she said, trust your gut in terms of kind of taking opportunities, and in terms of kind of like, she had amazing opportunities and loads of money being thrown at her, just be like, just be a part of it, just be a part of this. And she trusted her gut in saying, you know, there's going to be a little voice inside of you that says no matter how glamorous or amazing it might look on the surface. Trust of where your journey's taking you inside, and heed to the hell yeah inside of you, and to the hell no inside of you as well. And don't be mesmerized by the glistening of the opportunity, of how amazing it looks, because she says, you know, every time she said no, they'd be like, why are you crazy? And she's like, I ended up doing amazing other amazing roles that got me just as as much money. And I said, yeah. And it was what I needed. And it felt right to me. It felt right in my body. And that's one thing that women need to really understand is your body is so intelligent. It really sends you so many signals, so many messages of where you should be and who you should be connecting with and all of these things. So thank you so much for touching upon that. We're going to jump into the part of the podcast called I'm a Diva 5 Questions. Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you?
I think so.
Great. So number one, what's the best pep talk or phrase another diva has given you?
Okay, so I would probably maybe call it a bit more like a pep talk than a phrase, but my mother is my biggest fan, okay? And I trust practically everything she says. And put it to you this way, if she was to go out now and say, I'm going to find somebody like the ideal partner for my daughter, I would trust her to pick. You know, I send her off with my bank card and be like, here, buy me a whole new wardrobe. And she would. She's really good like that, you know, and she'd get it right. She gets it right. So right before any big gig that I do, my mother will send me a text and go, you're going to be brilliant. You've got this. You can do this. You'll be great. And without that, I'm like, once I see that in print, I'm like, she's right. She's right. So she's reassured me and I go out and I'm like, she's told me it's going to be okay and I'll be good. So therefore I will be. So that's just something. And it's a little tradition that we have because she knows and nobody else knows about this. Actually, I don't think I've ever told anyone this before. Yeah, that this is what she does. Like right before, it could be half an hour before I go on stage, it'll be that text from my mother. The last gig I did, she was sitting in the audience and I had spoken to her a little while, a couple of hours beforehand. And I said, I'm going to need that text now today. You know, I'm going to need that text. She was like, and you'll get it. So yeah, that's a little thing, you know,
it's like
yeah, Arlene, that's my pep talk.
Arlene needs her little pep talk fix.
Yeah, exactly. From my mother and mommy knows best.
That's the sweetest thing. I absolutely love that. And you and your mom sound like you have a great relationship. So I'm really, really happy.
We do.
I think having strong female relationships, especially, you know, in your family is just so important. And it's so important in your own confidence moving forward. And I feel like your mom's confidence rubbed off in you all the right ways and kind of how you are in today, and you're comfortable in yourself, comfortable in your body. And it's beautiful. It's really beautiful.
Thank you.
So number two, what do you think the ultimate diva day or night consists of doing?
Okay. Well, for me, it's either one of two things. It's going on stage and bringing down the house, putting your story across, rocking the place, having a good time with your band, stone cold sober, and then getting off stage and having that nice glass of red wine because you know you put on a good show. Or it's going out for dinner with my boyfriend and I pick up the bill because, you know, strong independent woman.
Yeah. I love that.
I love going out for dinner. If you said to me, look, we're going to the pub, I'd be like, okay. But if you said to me we were going out for dinner and drinks, I'm there and I'll happily sit in the restaurant all night. I just love that. But yeah, that's...
what do you normally like to order? And do you like when you pick a place, do you like is the interior really important that it's like funky or interesting, or do you kind of just like traditional places to eat?
My favorite food is Indian, so I love a good Indian restaurant, and I've managed to pinpoint two in Kildare that are authentic, really authentic. Yeah, like the decor, no, it doesn't really matter to me if the food is good and the company is good. Or Italian food. I mean, I'm horsing into a big bowl of pasta and I'm just, you know, loving life. I'm a foodie. Yeah. So yeah, out for dinner for anything, as long as there's a little bit of red wine included.
I'm a star sign Taurus, so like for me food is like
I'm a Scorpio. Edgy, so yeah, stinging the tail, you know. I never forget and I'm
absolutely right. I always got on like any female Scorpios I got on, we are like really tight, like we're really, really tight, like we've got really, really kind of good bonds, and they cut the crap with me and they tell me how it is sometimes and I don't like it sometimes, and I go off and I'll be like, but she's right. But deep down, I won't say it out loud, but I'm like, but I know she's right. So it's like tough love stuff, but I love it.
That's it.
Yeah. So number three, what is your ultimate diva song that just really gets you going?
Yeah, again, I have two.
Oh,
I really thought about these questions. Survivor by Destiny's Child, because on, it's a rocking song. Yeah. The lyrics and everything. Solid. I just love it. When I hear it, come on, it's like turn it up full volume. The other one is a country song by an artist called Toby Keith. He's an American country singer, and the song is How Do You Like Me Now? And I listened to that. The lyrics really resonate with me. It's like the general gist of it is like you thought I wouldn't become anything, but now here I am living in your radio. How do you like me now? You know, it's just it's a bit of a two fingers up to the people that slagged you when you were in school. And it kind of it makes sense to me because there's a line in it. When I took off to Tennessee, I heard you made fun of me. You know, it's just it reminds me of when I upped and left. And not that people. OK, there was a few begrudgers, maybe. But yeah, there was a few people looking at me going, who the hell does she think she is? And I know I'm not exactly Elvis or Shania Twain now in terms of success. But I've proved that I could do what I want, what I wanted to do and what I set out to do. And, you know, how do you like me now?
How do you like me now? I love that. Love that. So number four, can you describe your ultimate diva comeback?
OK, so this kind of brings back the whole Scorpio thing where I'm like stinging the tail. And maybe it's not very healthy to think like this, but there's been a couple of people along the way that have been a bit derogatory towards me. One person in particular actually sent me a stinking message there a while back on Facebook. And of course the coward then blocked me so I couldn't reply. But this rotten message anyway about, oh, sure, look, we won't even really give it the airtime. It doesn't merit it. But just in the last little while with the release of the new album and stuff, there's been an awful lot of promotional stuff going on. So I've had a lot of publicity, a lot of airplay. I've been in like mainstream papers and stuff. And just recently I did a huge article with a well-known magazine here in the country, and I thought to myself, oh, I remembered that person and that message, and I said to myself, I wonder, does she get that paper in that magazine? I wonder when she turns on her radio now, is she hearing me, and is she going, you know, is she maybe eating her words a little bit? I know that sounds a little, I shouldn't have time for that, but
yeah,
because she came at me, she invaded my space for no good reason. I kind of think, you know what, up yours.
Yeah.
I hope you're seeing this. I hope you're watching now. I'm not doing it for people like that, but you are kind of driven by that sort of, you're either going to take it one way or another, or you're going to say to yourself, look, right, fine, I'm hurt by that, but screw you. You're going to encourage me to not back down.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
If anything, you're like, I'm going to make sure I don't back down now.
Yeah.
Sure that.
Yeah. Sure. Watch me, biatch.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, it depends how you use that force, because I do feel like people like that are brought into our lives, whatever way you want to look at it, as a gift. You know, I like to look at it as a gift in a way that, you know, I needed this. I needed to hear you say that, because that'll be the thing that'll kind of continue pushing me when I need it, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get you. But I didn't need to hear that, to be honest, because as from one woman to another,
it was just crappy.
Yeah, it was crappy. And I just thought, you know what? Yeah, we should be supporting one another. Life's hard enough. That's
exactly what I mean when it comes to women to women. This is why I'm saying, I feel like for me, this big work on like reworking the female relationships and finding trust in each other again in that way that, like, you know, I don't want to hurt you. I want this to be a safe space for you and your expression and whatever that means. And to me, like, this is such a big quest for myself. Like, if that means just my friends feeling safe in my space, in a space where they can talk about anything and not feel judged, whatever it is, where like maybe the rest of the family are like, why are you back with him? You know, do you know what I mean? Like as an example, but I will always hold space because I know how important that is, and having females like that and just being able to be heard and witnessed by what you're experiencing by someone without them putting their opinions. I think that's something that people still need to learn a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So number five, last question of I'm a Diva 5 questions. What would be your diva dream? Anything at all. Don't hold back.
I won't. I did say that I have a very lovely boyfriend, but my diva dream is that I run away with Jim Carrey and we get married and live happily ever after. I mean, I tell my boyfriend this. He's okay with this because this is like your, you know, your Ross and Friends laminated list. It's acceptable because we'll assume I'm never going to meet him. But, you know, I just have an undying love for Jim Carrey. And as mortifying as it might seem to some people, I mean, I've seen Dumb and Dumber over 500 times. I'm obsessed with the man. Like, he can do no wrong in my eyes.
No.
I think he's a genius. And I'm just, yeah, that's what I want. That's my diva dream.
I've seen most of it. I probably have seen most of majority of his movies. If I haven't seen it, I'd be very surprised myself, because I find like Jim Carrey incredible myself. And I even had like my ex was kind of like saying like he is an incredible man, and not in a way where it was like, you know, non-sexual, which it didn't mean it like that, but it's like if someone can say how amazing someone is and they're not even attracted to that same sex, that kind of says a lot about a person.
Yeah.
you know, he's just such a free spirit, and I think he really inspires like everybody to kind of like, there's so much more to life and the beauty of our expression. There's so much to it if we just sort of let it come out, and the different stages he went through as a, you know, actor and as a person and all of that.
Yeah.
Well, he's always been like very grounded and authentic to himself, so he's a beautiful soul and a beautiful person. I love him in Burt Wonderstone, the hair on him,
and oh my god,
the thing he played so out, I was just like, loved him in that. He pulled it off so well.
I love Cable Guy. That's quite dark, and it's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Look, he's a strange character, and a complicated one, I would well believe. But I'm in love with his brain. So one day,
there's an endearing quality that you like. You kind of know why he's messed up in the movie. In Cable Guy, you kind of know. You kind of learn why he's messed up, and you kind
of
have
this
endearing quality towards him. I'd be like, I know why you're like this. So like, I can't really hate you. Like, I get where you're coming from. So it's like, it's a very clever movie, actually. So, Arlene, let's move forward a little bit back to you and put the focus back on you. And we send much love to Jim Carrey for now. And we'll be revisiting one of his movies very quickly, very soon. So in terms of your music career, I would like you to talk about your most recent project. So we had your lovely I Am Woman track. Can you talk a little bit about that and your album? And I want to kind of hear what's currently happening right now with Arlene.
Yeah. Okay, so I Am Woman was the title track from the second album that I did. And we actually took that from album number 2 and put it onto the new album because we felt it hadn't actually got the recognition or airplay that it had deserved. So we're giving it another go this time around. The third album that I've released is just called Bailey. So that's the name of the band as well. So we just said we'd put that title on it and let the music speak for itself. There's a couple of tracks there, as I said, that it were written for me by some Nashville songwriters. So it's great to have a mixed bag and obviously to have a decent amount of original songs on it. There's a lot there that flies the flag for empowerment, you know, for women, but in a fun way, in an upbeat way. As I said, that song, Everything I'm Not, is just my way of saying, I know it's good enough for me, and you know, you need to work with me here. But I'm very pleased with the album. I'm really happy with it. It's released now just a couple of months, and it's available on all the usual platforms, you know, Spotify and whatnot. But it's doing quite well. And at the moment, like, we have been very lucky to do some of the recent government funded shows and stuff. But for us as a band, 2022 will be the year that we really push forward, because at the moment there's still a bit of uncertainty, as you know, in terms of live music. There's still we're just planning to organize some more tours and stuff for the new year. So yeah, new album out, feeling positive. We've released a couple of videos, as I said, generating a bit of publicity now with bits and bobs. So yeah, I'm feeling really positive about what's ahead.
Amazing. Any note that you want to kind of leave on for any females listening in the music industry or anything like that, that you want to say? Or
just believe in yourself, and power through, and don't be afraid to ask. That's what my dad used to always say to me before he passed away. He would say things like, just Babs, ask, ask. They're only people, you know. You can, they'll either say yes or no. So in terms of trying to promote your career, or whether it's music or otherwise, just be ballsy and remember that, you know, you should know your worth, be confident in what you do, and don't be afraid to put yourself out there, because who knows what they're going to say if you approach the right people. They might just give you the right answer, and you know that's going to make all the difference. So believe in yourself.
I love that. And from earlier in the episode, find a mom or a friend or anybody to give you a little pep talk message before every show.
Yeah, yeah. Turn to the people that you know that will be honest with you as well. Like, I mean, my mother won't be behind the door about telling me if she thinks I'm wrong or rubbish, you know. Like, so if she tells me that I'm good, I'm going to believe her.
Yeah.
So
it holds weight. You feel
yeah.
it. Yeah, I can feel the weight. Arlene, it was an absolute pleasure to talk to you. I can't wait to hear more works from musical works and more musical treats from you. And I can't wait for live shows to properly come back for yourself. And you obviously have amazing things up ahead. This is great news, and great news for many other artists as well. So, you know, obviously for the future with the I'm a Diva podcast network of events, I'd love to have you, and for sure we'll keep you in mind. And it was just an absolute joy. Thank you, Arlene.
Yeah, and for me too, Edgy. Thanks so much, and best of luck to you with everything. I listened to some of your stuff earlier, and you're brilliant. So fair play.
So much. Thank you. And to all our listeners, thank you so much for listening and continuing to support the podcast. And until next time, this was Edgy V, your talk show host. Bye.
I'm a Diva podcast launched a Patreon account. So if you like what we do and want to support us, head over to our link, and there will be some exclusive content for exclusive subscribers. So head over there now, and thank you so much for your support.